Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. South Dakota's Terry Redlin died this weekend. He was 78. Redlin is one of America's most widely collected painters of wildlife and Americana. To remember the artist and the man, we are joined today by Julie Ranum, Executive Director of the Redlin Art Center in Watertown. Julie, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thank you, Lori.
And first and foremost, we're sorry here for the loss of your friend, because you were friends with Terry Redlin, correct?
Thank you. Yes, thank you very much. I have had the privilege of working for him and representing him for 20 years. So, yes, it's a sad day for all of us. But, you know, he left a tremendous legacy with his amazing collection of art.
Let's start with how people, over the years that you've seen lots of people react to his art. Give me some words that people used to describe his paintings.
Oh, what I hear most often is that people exclaim, "I've been there." People relate. They can step into the paintings. The memories that Terry Redlin captured on canvas, we have all shared. And I think that bond is what has made his art so appealing to so many for so many years.
Were those memories from his own life, or were those from his imagination?
They were from his own life. His paintings were all compilations of places he had been, experiences he had had, and people he knew. And he would just, you know, really marry all of those elements together to create a fully artistic scene. His paintings were never intended to be photographic, but he intended to capture those memories with a romantic realism eye, which is what he referred to his style as.
And he wanted his art to please the average person, or to be accessible to the average person. Why was that so important to him?
Because he considered himself to be an average person. And he grew up in Watertown, South Dakota, and was proud of his heritage and proud of the memories and experiences he had in rural America. And I think he wanted just everyone to be able to enjoy and appreciate what he knew and what was so important to him.
Tell me a little bit about how he became the artist that we know him as today.
The amazing thing about Terry Redlin is that he never intended to be an artist. He'd always had an artistic ability from an early age. But when he was 15, he was a passenger on a motorcycle that was struck by a drunken driver, and he lost a leg. And at that time, the state of South Dakota had a scholarship program for students with disabilities. Terry was awarded a $1,500 scholarship through that program. Had it not been for that opportunity, he never would have been able to afford to go on to college. He went to art school in Minneapolis, to the St. Paul School of Associated Arts, and went on to be a commercial artist for 20 years, and at the age of 40, decided to venture into the world of wildlife art. And that was 1977. He launched three paintings, Apple River Mallards, Winter Snows, and Over the Blowdown, and that is what launched his career as a wildlife and Americana artist back in 1977. And so he would tell you his timing was right. He got into the world of wildlife art and collectible signed and numbered fine art prints at a time when that was a big deal. And he became rather successful quickly. And that is when his son Charles convinced his father to stop selling original paintings so that one day a building could be built to house those originals. And in 1997, the Redlin Arts Center opened. Terry said the only place the building could go would be back to Watertown, South Dakota, to repay the gift of that $1,500 scholarship. So this place and the collection of 160 original oil paintings within it is Terry Redlin's thank you gift.
Talk a little bit about Charles and the foresight that he had. Have you heard why he kind of urged his father to do that? Was he thinking about his legacy? Was he thinking about commercial aspects of it? What were his thoughts when he said, you know, go this way and make sure you preserve it?
Absolutely. He was focused on his father's legacy and knew that, or convinced his father that at that point he would earn a living off of selling the prints, and he didn't need to continue to sell the original paintings in order to continue to earn that living. And it was really a dream Charles had to build a building that was a tribute to his father and then fill it with all of the original paintings so that this legacy could live on.
Tell me a little bit about Terry's work ethic.
Oh, well, because his training was as a commercial artist, he never approached art from the perspective of needing inspiration. He was trained as a commercial artist for speed. And you didn't wait. You had to produce no matter what. And so even after venturing into the world of wildlife art, he would get up every morning and go to the easel and paint, and would paint more than a full eight-hour day. And in the later years, he shared with us that for him, painting was almost like breathing. If he couldn't sleep at night, he would get up and paint. If he, painting was something that was so much a part of him that I believe that's why he was so prolific. You know, in really 30 years' time, he released over 200 pieces of art.
Talk to me a little bit about his technique then as an artist and what collectors really saw beyond just connecting to the image and appreciating, bringing it back or a memory. They really responded to his technique as well.
Right. Terry was an oil painter, and his focus over the years, he started off focusing on the realism of his subject matter. And many times, especially the hunters that come through the Art Center, are amazed at the detail that he's able to put into the wildlife that he focuses on in some of his paintings. And Terry took great pride in that, but he also studied and worked hard at it. He was an avid photographer in his early years and would make sure that his detail was accurate based on his own personal photography. And he'd study the birds, he'd study the deer, and make sure that everything was correct. And then beyond that, he, I guess we would say, evolved into this painter of light, where he would incorporate these incredible light sources into his paintings, whether a sunrise or a sunset or a lamp post or a campfire, and that light source just illuminated the entire scene. But Terry loved capturing light because then he was also able to play with the shadowing. And so for him, the most interesting times of day to paint were dawn or dusk, not bright sunlight or midday. And yes, I think people really appreciated that style, both the realism that he was able to capture, the light sources in the paintings, and just the way that he was able to make every scene seem like a scene you might want to step into yourself.
Did he talk about his own art and like the use of light? Did he talk about light, or did he just kind of get to work on it? When you had conversations with him, would he sort of elaborate on that and meditate on that or reflect on that, or did he just show up in his work?
He really didn't talk much about his technique to anyone. He painted, in his own studio, in his own home. He never had a public studio, and he didn't share a lot about what went into the paintings. I can tell you that when he announced his retirement in 2007, the one thing he asked of me was to make sure and let everyone know that everything he did was by hand. He started every original painting with a pencil sketch and worked out the details from that. He never owned a computer, so nothing in his art was ever computer generated. And that was very, very important to him, that more so than anything about the light sources or anything to do with the color. But the fact that he everything was original and everything was by hand.
Why is his art so collectible? What do you hear from collectors or people who want to take it home? What is it that they're really drawn to?
I think they connect with the paintings like we talked earlier. I think that for fans, the art represents to them more than just a piece of art. It represents either a time or place in their lives or a memory, a personal memory. And so when they purchase a Terry Redland print and take it to their home, it's much more than hanging just a piece of art on the wall. It's a constant reminder of a time or a place or an experience that was important to them.
How has he influenced other artists from South Dakota and beyond?
That's a great question. You know, I think that he was really a pioneer. You know, his work as a wildlife artist. You know, we have many wonderful artists in South Dakota, and I think that young artists saw that he was successful and that he did work hard at it. It wasn't wasn't just a hobby for him. It was a full-time business. And I think his work ethic and the way he treated people and the way he approached his business was far-reaching. And I think that we have seen many young artists sort of follow in his footsteps. And again, I think, you know, he always said, if your work is all yours and never copied, and it's the best you can do at the time, it's good enough. And that was really a motto he lived by.
Tell me about his family life. We mentioned his son, Charles. They must have had a good relationship if Charles had influence on what kind of decisions he made. Tell me more about who he was as a family person outside
sure,
of...
absolutely. He, Terry was married to his high school sweetheart, Helene Langenfeld Redland, and they had three children, Kimberly, Kelly, and Charles. And Charles was the only one of the children that was involved with the family business, with the family art business. So we knew him better, and his relationship with Terry was one of not only father-son, but business partner, and I would even say best friend. You know, they were very, very close. Family was very important to Terry. He and his wife, Helene, moved back to Watertown from Minneapolis in the early 1990s when the construction of the Art Center was started, and Terry always wanted to get home. He was very proud of being from Watertown and had a big heart for this community and always wanted to get back here because family, community, neighbors was all the fabric of who he was.
Talk about his conservation efforts, because I know that it's a huge part of what he did as an artist.
Absolutely. In the early days of his career, he partnered with Ducks Unlimited, and he felt that that partnership was so important to launching his career because it put his art in front of people who could relate to it, the folks that were out in the fields that were experiencing wildlife up front and personal, like his paintings were capturing the subject matter. And so that partnership started very early on, and he would dedicate complete print editions to conservation efforts where the funds raised from those editions would all go to the different conservation organizations. Much of that was done prior to the opening of the Arts Center, and I don't have a total, but even years ago, it was reported that his art had generated upwards of $40 million for conservation and preservation efforts, not only through Ducks Unlimited, but Pheasants Forever, Whitetails Unlimited, National Wild Turkey Federation, all the different conservation organizations that are out there. And you're right, it was very important to Terry Redland because he was raised with such an appreciation for wildlife and for nature. It was important to him to help preserve that.
What did it mean for him to have a school named after him
in
Sioux Falls?
It was a tremendous honor. One that he did not take lightly. It was very, very important to him that he represent that school well. And I can share with you when the superintendent of schools called and told us that the students and the teachers and the families had all voted to name the school Terry Redland Elementary. Would I please reach out to Terry Redland and ask if that was all right with him? And I was the one to place that call to Terry Redland, and there was complete silence on the other end of the phone when I called. And I finally had to say, "Are you there, Terry?" And he said, "Julie, do they know what kind of student I was?" And I said, "You know, I don't think they're going to, it doesn't matter anymore, Terry." But it was something that he was very humbled by. To have that school named after him. And it was truly, truly an honor that he was grateful for. In fact, when he was well, we would welcome the students from the Terry Redland Elementary for a special guest appearance. When they would come to the Arts Center, Terry would be here to greet them and to welcome them, and it was something that he never missed. He really, really enjoyed those opportunities.
He was a daydreamer as a student. I don't think that sounds so bad. Nothing to be ashamed of there, to do a little date. He looked out the window a lot, as I understand.
Right. So much so that the teachers all had nicknames for him. They called him Windows Redlin and knew that they couldn't place him near a window or he wouldn't be paying attention to anything they were covering in class. And an incurable daydreamer.
What kind of stories are going to be told in Watertown and beyond in the coming days?
Oh, so many wonderful stories, so many beautiful memories. I'm thinking of things that have happened here at the Art Center over the last 19 years since our opening, and we would find Terry in the early days of our opening. We'd find him driving through the parking lot, and I can remember running out one day and just asking if he was coming in or what I could help him with, and he said he was just simply amazed at all the different license plates. He couldn't believe people were traveling from such a distance to see his art. He was so humble, and it never ever sunk into him that this work was far-reaching and that he had quite a fan base. We would also welcome him to the gallery. He'd stop in, and he would come unannounced. He wanted no special attention. We were not to introduce him. He wanted to just simply mix and mingle with our guests and visit with them one-on-one, and oftentimes those folks would come up to us afterwards and say, "Was that Terry Redlin?" And we would just have the pleasure of telling them that, yes, in fact, they just had a personal conversation with the artist. But Terry did that because he just wanted everyone to feel welcome. Terry made everyone feel special. He made everyone feel like a friend, and that was truly his gift.
You had a long relationship with him. What are you going to miss about him?
I've been missing him for many years because of his illness and, has taken him away from the Art Center. But, he was wonderfully kind. I never heard him speak a harsh word to or about anyone. He loved coming to the Art Center, which made me so happy. And our friendship, which is, I worked for him, but I really felt that he was also a friend. I watched him interact with people, and I learned a lot from him just in how he handled himself. But I just will miss that kind, gentle spirit that made everybody feel special.
Julie, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate your talking to us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And best of luck in the days ahead as you remember Terry even more.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Lori.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Julie Ranum. She's the executive director of the Redlin Art Center in Watertown. Artist Terry Redlin died this weekend. He was 78.